Okay, good evening. We're in Psalm 81 and we'll finish in Psalm 89. Let's pray, Father. We pray and I think we have every right to pray and Lord, to boldly enter the throne room with every expectation that you'll bless, that you'll teach us your word. At the end of the day, Lord, we're not the smartest, best, brightest. But we are your children, Lord, and you have given your spirit, the spirit of truth, as Jesus calls him, to lead us into all truth. And we would, Lord, that you lead us not only into truth, but a closer walk with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 81. And by the way, with 89, we'll finish book three, sometimes called the Levitical book. And by the way, I haven't set much stock in any of that, but if you can try to convince me that they correlate, you'd have the easiest time with book three, because many of them are about Jerusalem, about the temple, about the tabernacle, about Zion and the dwelling place of God. So Leviticus book three. Anyway, let's jump right in. In my Scofield Reference Bible, it says a call to proper worship, Psalm 81. I think it's not. I think it's about festival, and much of the reading that I've done, some say it's about the Feast of Tabernacles, but I think it's probably the Feast of Trumpets. And for reasons we'll come to as we go along. Now, let's start. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Okay, another psalm of Asaph. He wrote 10 psalms. And this is one of them. Gittith means, that's what I'm thinking. Might mean olive press, like Gethsemane. It might. There's debate about that. Okay, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. So we like it already, right? Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet. I like that. It make it sound explosive, but it doesn't mean that. It means blow into the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. That's why I say one. It's about a feast. What a feast? Well, blow up the trumpet. I think it's the Feast of Trumpets, and it mentions the new moon. I think it's the only feast day that starts on a new moon. Think of Passover, isn't that the 13th or 14th of Nisan? So you count 13 days in, bing. You're not looking for new moons. And then, of course, the Feast of Unleavened Bread would be the next day. I think it's the 13th and the 14th of Nisan. Nisan is in our spring, April-ish, May. That's why Resurrection Sunday changes all the time because it's close to Passover, and Passover they have a different calendar than we have. But the and of course the Feast of First Fruits is the morrow after the Sabbath after Passover. So it wouldn't be any of those. I think a new moon. I think the only one that happens on a new moon is the Feast of Trumpets, literally. The day that no man knows, the day or the hour, because you have to be in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount to look for a new moon when the first two stars appear. When you see it, you blow the trumpet and you start the Feast of Trumpets. But if you don't see the new moon, then you have to wait for the next day if it's cloud cover or like that. So that's why it's literally a day no man knows, the day or the hour. Okay, blow up the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, lust, and they walked in their own counsel. I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. So I gave them up into their own hearts, lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Walking in their own counsels is, no, we walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. You know, it's right there. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Honey out of the rock, we've seen that before. I don't know how much I've said about it. Remember, it's the land of milk and honey. So what is that promising? Pasture lands and pollinization, if you want to be literal. But a multitude of blessing. By the way, neither one of those are vegan. I'm just saying, okay? Honey out of the rock. What rock? Well, the rock that followed them was Christ. Honey out of Christ, sweetness out of Jesus. Well, that should be evident to all of us Jesus followers. Psalm 82, again, a psalm of Asaph. Now, Jesus quotes this in the New Testament, and you'll see how and you'll see why. Okay, this is a psalm of Asaph, as I said, verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long, when you say gods, what gods are you talking about? Small g gods, the would-be gods, if you ask me. Much people make a council of the gods. Much people make a lot of that. This is like one of the few verses that even mention that. And like we lost our place at the divine council when we fell, and God's restoring us, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't think he needs a council. Does he want to rule that way? You get a little part of a verse and you make a whole doctrine on it. I don't know, okay? I guess the jury's still out in my understanding of the council, God's council. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. And God doesn't want us to accept the persons of the wicked. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of ye are children of the Most High. So you remember in the New Testament when Jesus said that he was the Son of God and they accused him of blasphemy, and he said, what are you talking about? Your scripture says, and actually I think the word is your Torah says, and Torah, you know, we usually associate Torah with the first five books of Moses, but here Jesus uses that phraseology for Psalms. But it just means teaching, so I wouldn't make too much of that. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. What are you talking about, ye are gods? When we sit in judgment, we sit in the place of God. That's why to be a judge is very, very, very important, that we don't miscarry justice, that here he's saying, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. In America, I'm afraid, very often, people don't get a fair shake. I mean, we've all determined we hate lawyers. We fear them. They can manipulate the law in such a way that it doesn't matter. If you're not wealthy and you can hire the best legal minds, you lose whether your case is right or not. In America, in 21st century, right does not make might. But he says, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. You're gods. You sit in the place of just judgment. You're gods, and you're supposed to be doing God's work. That's the idea. That's what's behind it. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And, of course, it's making a reference to the kingdom age there. Okay, Psalm 83. See, we're moving right along. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. And by the way, I should say this. Psalm 83, Bill Salas says, it's a Psalm 83 war that hasn't happened yet. Now, I agree with Bill Salas. He hasn't got much traction in Calvary Chapel circles, which is kind of sad because he's a Calvary Chapel guy. I met him at the East Coast Pastors Conference last year, and we all had name tags where we were from, a little kind of pendant, but a little, I don't know, a thing that hangs, a lanyard that hangs on your neck, a little plastic, says where you are, where you're from. And so some guy, older gentleman, and I recognize him because I saw a lot of YouTube videos, Bill Salas, on Prophecy Watchers and Psalm 83 war. Watch something about it after I comment on it. He goes into a lot greater detail. Well, he's a scholar of the First Order, as far as I'm concerned. And so when I hear people talk about this, they're like, oh, you know, these are people that have come. And they look at something in First Kings or Second Chronicles, and it's like, yeah, but that names two of these 10 nations. And this has never happened before. I think this is future. I think this will happen. I think this is the Psalm 83 war. And I think it's a prophecy. It's a Psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. You're not serious, Adam, that people come against God's people. Sometimes it happens, right? But specifically Israel here in this connotation. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Sounds like the PLO charter. I mean, come on. That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Now he's going to... who's who of the Middle East. All these countries are inner circle around, geographically around Israel. Let me tell you what I think's going to happen. Israel's going to move against Elam, according to Jeremiah 49. What's Elam? Western Iraq. It has a nuclear reactor there. And it's going to go very badly for Iran because... Again, just read the end of Jeremiah 49. I can't give you the verses right off the top of my head. And that will cause Iran to attack and all its proxies. Well, all its proxies are right around Israel. And we'll have a list of them here. They have consulted together against thee with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom. That's modern-day South Jordan. And the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. The Ishmaelites are modern-day Saudi Arabia. The Hagarenes, that would be... Moab is modern-day Central Jordan. It mentions the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. Hagarenes, remember Hagar, Egyptians here. Gebal and Ammon... Gebal, always known as Byblos, is northern day, no, I mean present day northern Lebanon, right? And Amalek would be, Gebal and Ammon. I said Gebal is Byblos, modern day northern Lebanon. Ammon is modern day northern Jordan. So you get north, south, and central Jordan. Or the country of Jordan, if you want to just look at it one. But those are three distinct people groups historically. And that's why they mention like this. So that a confederacy of 10 tribes, let's call them, but you can consolidate them down to less nations today. Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek. Amalek is modern day Sinai Peninsula. The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Philistines modern day Gaza, where Hamas is, okay, right? With the inhabitants of Tyre, Tyre is modern day southern Lebanon, Hezbollah. You can't write this stuff. Did God know? Well, of course he knew. Verse 8. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah. So Asher, also Assyria, is modern day Syria and Iraq. Okay, that's the Confederacy of Nations. There's a list of 10, but like I say, it doesn't add up to 10 nations. Two of them are in Lebanon, three of them are in Jordan. You have both Amalek and Philistines in the Gaza Strip and Sinai Peninsula, and then you got Syria and Iraq. That kind of splits into two when you're talking about Asher, Asser, as it says here. Assyria is kind of the idea. Okay. Verse 9, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin in the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. All those things have one thing in common. Israel won against overwhelming odds, and that's what it's going to be when this 10 tribal confederacy comes against Israel, and I think that will be personally after an event, a military event in western Iran that Israel will precipitate. They can't let Iran get a nuclear weapon for obvious reasons. So beat them down like you did all these other ones, the Midianites, Sisera. You remember that, right? Jabin at the brook of Kishon. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna. Okay? All this is, I think, is in the book of Judges. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. See, it's not just punitive, it's also remedial, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever, yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahovah, art the most high over all the earth. So I think this is, and stay tuned, I think this is going to happen soon. I'll say that soon. My soon and God's soon aren't the same soon. I've learned that over the years, but however, his timing is obviously the perfect one. Okay, Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now we're finished with Asaph, and we're going on to the psalm for the sons of Korah. You remember Korah led a rebellion against Moses? Well, here are his children. Of course, his great, great, greats. I mean, this is hundreds of years, 400 or 500 years. It depends what time during the time of the kings these, like this, was written. But children aren't killed for the put to death for the sins of their father. Fathers aren't put to death for the sins of their children. If you read carefully the account of Korah, it says him and his whole household. But I think that's all his household who were involved in the nefarious rebellion against Moses. But not all his children's children and children. I mean, this, you know, God doesn't sweep away the innocent and the guilty together. He's not like that. That's what Moses said to him. Abraham said to him, you're not going to judge the wicked and the righteous all at once. I mean, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, right? God said basically to Abraham, yeah, I like the way you're thinking. Yeah, there's 50 righteous? Yeah, I won't. And I think that's the kind of important thing to remember about our God. So here's the Psalms of the sons of Korah. They were Levitical. They were in the tribe of Levi, what I'm saying. And they had priestly duties, and they're singers, obviously, at this time. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know part of this, because famous songs here. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. What's he talking about? Then all of a sudden he's talking about birds. The sparrow found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altar. So, you know, it's all open to the elements and stuff like this. And swallows and sparrows are found there. And they can hang around, see what's going on in the house of God all the time. And as I have an idea, there's a little bit of jealousy here. Where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The New Testament says God gave us Jesus. With him won't he freely give us all things. Here it's saying the Lord is the same way. No good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I'd rather hang around, be a doorkeeper in your house and live 1,000 years anywhere else. And I agree with that sentiment. Amen. There's three Beatitudes in here. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. And verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So there's some Beatitudes for you. Just because God threw them right in there and he's not even charging us for it. Okay. Psalm 85, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Okay, this is also for the sons of Korah or by the sons of Korah. It says for Some people, there's a little bit of a debate about that. Okay, it's kind of lament. Is it post-exile? Some people think so. I don't know. You say, well, sons of Korah. Well, sons, see, there's no word for grand, and we don't know how many grands are in here anyway. You know what I mean? When it talks about, like, and Aaron was gathered to his fathers or something when he dies. Well, we only have one father. Well, it means his father, his father's father, his father's father's father, all the way back. It's kind of what it's always referring to. There's no, they don't have, like we say, my great great grandson. I don't have a great great grandson. I don't even have a, I have a grandson. That's all. And maybe you guys are having great greats. Great. That's tremendous. Okay, verse 80, 85, verse 1. And again, it's a psalm for the sons of Korah. It's a lament, as I said. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. That's why people think it's post-exile. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? It's a common occurrence in Psalms. I don't know if you feel like this often, but remember, there's therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus. Zero. No condemnation. If you want to see more of that, check out my sermon tomorrow. That would be the part three of Romans chapter 8. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Not in America, not today. Mercy and truth. Truth is relative, and mercy simply has nothing to do with it. They're not even on speaking terms. They're not besties. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other? I don't think so. I think peace is a kind of very relative term, and righteousness is, people don't even talk in terms of righteousness. They talk about, they posture and they pose, and righteousness now means I'm more woke than you. I use the pronouns that people want me to use. Look at how righteous I am. Look at what a good person I am. And much of it is just posturing. It's just posing. And it's got nothing to do with biblical righteousness, and very often everything to do with biblical unrighteousness. Yes, I said it. Anyway, in this psalm, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Beautiful language. It's just not true today in America. I'm not sure there's places where it still is true, but that's the heart of God. That's what God wants. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Is this talking about the kingdom age? I think it's talking about them coming back from exile, is what it's talking about. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. Psalm 86. It's a psalm of David, it says, a prayer of David. Psalm 86. It's the only one in Book 3 that's written by David, right? And if we titled it, I'd title it Forgiving. Okay, Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, O God, save this, thy servant that trusteth in thee. When David says he's holy, he doesn't mean he's flawless. And we have that idea, holy, like, I don't know, because I don't know anyone who fits, and certainly not me, who fits the description when we use it in that term. Holy just means those of us who are set aside for God's purpose, or saved ones, or Christians, or followers of God, or however you want to use it, the terminology. Preserve me, O God, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Aren't you glad? Aren't you just glad? I say this, and let me, I don't know if you just listen to me, and sometimes I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. I just, you don't even, the things I say, they're just rolling off like so many. Listen to what I'm saying. God is more willing to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. It's not like Satan appears before God and says, yeah, look at Adam, he did this and this and this and this. Under the blood, under the blood, under the blood. Satan, go away. I got no time for you and your foolishness. You can't lay a charge against God's elect. It just doesn't stick. He's already banged the gavel on my behalf, on your behalf, and said justified. You think he's going to turn over that? You think there's some sort of heavenly double jeopardy? No. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. And I say, God loves to show mercy. Do I deserve it? Never. Do you deserve it? Never. Never. And he forgives, and he forgives, and he forgives. And he takes our sins, and he buries them in the deepest part of the ocean. Right? And he puts up a no fishing sign. He removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. I just want us to think about that. Here it says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice thy soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So, Lord, please forgive me. No, I absolutely will not. Come on. Who's that God? My God is plenteous in mercy, ready to forgive. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Is that just like temple business, or is that, you know, going all the way over into the kingdom age? Well, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. Whatever you want to make it, but I think it's a little bit of the kingdom involved there. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And see, here's the thing. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. How can God set aside our sin? I think it was one of them dead Greek guys, Plato or Socrates or Aristotle, one of those guys, who said, I think it was Plato, said, maybe God can forgive, but I don't see how. Well, our God can forgive, not based on what we've done, but based on what Jesus has done. This way, he can be both righteous and the justifier of the ungodly and the wicked. Because he's full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. A good prayer. I've prayed this before. Lord, show me a token for good. Like, I know God loves me. I know. Can I just be reminded of it? Can I see something that just reminds me that, and we'll leave it open-ended and let him fill in the blank. Thou hast holpen me and comforted me. Okay. Psalm 87, a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. It's a psalm about longing for Zion. Okay. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. Psalm 87, verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. So three times we have that, this man was born there. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. One thinks of the river coming out of the altar in the last chapter of Ezekiel. What is it talking about? This man was born there. Like if you're born in Jerusalem, you get great. I have an idea. It's born again is the idea. God making not too much fuss over our fleshly birth. The second birth, the spiritual birth, is always the one that he holds dear and that he counts. And I have an idea. It's like this one was born here with the idea of, like, you know, born again here is how I would take that. Psalm 88. It's the last of the sons of Korah. It's a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. It's to the chief musician upon Mahalath Leonoth, a maskil of Ethan of Heman the Ezrahite. Okay, I'm sorry. King James, I was looking at a different Bible earlier. It's probably a different, it's something a little bit different. Mahalath Leonoth means suffering of the afflicted. It's a lament. It's a dark psalm. It really is. When we say lament, boy, it really is. Okay, Psalm 88, let's just jump right in. O Lord God of my salvation, I've cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear upon my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. It's dark, is it not? Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about altogether. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Boy, that's despairing. That's sad. And I kept waiting for it to turn the corner and, you know, show some spark, some faith in God. And it so never did, really. It's just, it's dark. I think these are, you know, people who have this darkness. I think it's okay to pour out this before God. Suicide? No. No, life isn't ours to give or take. Even our own life, it's not, thou shalt do no murder, okay? Don't kill anybody, including you. Reach out to a friend. There's times when we have, it's just dark, there's no forward path. But there is a forward path. And if you get by that dark place, it's, you know, it gets better. Okay, Psalm 89. It's a longer psalm. We'll go right through it. It's a maskil of Ether and the Ezrahite. This is what I was thinking of before. It's the only one by Ether the Ezrahite. He's a one-hit wonder. So this is it. Let's jump in. Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Think about that. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Rahab here is a sea monster. I don't like a sea monster, like Leviathan or something. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them, the north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice at thy name, two prominent mountains in Israel. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand of God, salvation. Who sits at the right hand of God? Interesting. Okay, justice, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. We see that coupled again, mercy and truth. Blessed, okay, this is another beatitude. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Our horn, again, our strength shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. In my name shall his horn be exalted. So it's talking about David, and I can't help thinking it's talking about David's greater son here. Remember, my holy oil have I anointed him. Anointed, Jesus, Messiah, anointed one, Christ, anointed one. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Again, if that's not Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, just an idea. My mercy will I keep for him evermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Not talking about Jesus. God doesn't extend mercy to Jesus. Jesus doesn't need mercy. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. What are we talking about? David's got no throne today. He will, and it will be an everlasting throne. The throne that will be established by an everlasting kind of person. That was Gabriel's promise to Mary. If there's no kingdom, what did Gabriel promise Mary? He shall sit on the throne of David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all the hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of the sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. Thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. I believe this whole section is about Jesus Christ and what he endured on our behalf. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. Think about that. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thou wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen. And amen. That's the benediction that ends book 3. So next time we get together, I'm taking a week off. So in 2 weeks, it will be book 4 and Psalm 90. Lord, bless your word to our understanding. Again, Lord, our focus is on you, that we may draw close to you and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace.